First Corinthians chapter 11, our studies in this very wonderful book. It begins, "Be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." Now, in the previous chapter, the Apostle Paul had been talking about his own exercise of soul and his desire to help others and to please the Lord. And now he asks that they follow him, but only as he followed Christ. It is unsafe to follow any man beyond the degree to which he follows Christ. Don't be followers of men, only as they follow Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I deliver them to you. The word ordinance is translated tradition in other places, but this is not the kind of tradition that the Lord Jesus rebuked when they were turning away from the Word of God and following the traditions of men. This simply means the oral teachings of the apostles. Before the scriptures were completed, before the New Testament was written, they were passed, these teachings were passed on by word of mouth. Now, usually we apply the word ordinance to baptism or the Lord's Supper, although some churches designate a number of other acts which they call ordinances. I believe that an ordinance should be something, some act, which was instituted by the Lord Jesus himself and practiced in the Acts. Naturally, you would expect that it would be in the early church, and then taught in the epistles. There are just two that pass this test. Baptism, which stands for my death with Christ, and the Lord's Supper, which tells about his death for me. A little later on in this chapter, he explains the Lord's Supper, what it really means. As Christians, we have the privilege, then, of keeping these two ordinances. Now, from verses 3 through 15, the subject is woman's place in the church. Now, this is in contrast to Galatians chapter 3 and verse 28, where he plainly tells us that in Christ there is neither male nor female, there are no distinctions whatever. In Christ, we are all alike. In the church, we each have our own particular position. Now, let me say this to any dear Christian women who are listening. There is no thought of inferiority. It is merely that of position. We are all redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, men and women alike. We are both equally dear to the Lord, and we both have our place of service. God has given to women some things which he never gave to men. He gave to a woman, the Virgin Mary, the privilege of bringing into this world the Lord Jesus in his physical body, in his incarnation, and of rearing him for the Lord. This was a marvelous, wonderful privilege. He gave to Mary Magdalene the privilege of carrying the first message of the resurrection back to the disciples. Christianity never gives a woman an inferior place. Other religions do. All you have to do is to read some of the so-called holy books of the world religions, and you will find that woman has a very inferior place. Not so with Christianity. However, God has placed certain restrictions, and he tells us why in this section of the Word of God. He says, "I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God." Now, the head of the woman being the man means simply that this is the order in the family life. There has to be one person who is the head of the family, and God has ordained that it should be the man. There are many women who will not submit to this, and they are very unhappy people as a rule. There are others who wish that their husbands would take the place of leadership in the family, but because they don't, the woman has to do it, and I feel sorry for those in such a case. But see again that it's not a matter of inferiority, because he said the head of Christ is God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit are co-equal and co-eternal. But there is a difference in their position. The Lord Jesus came down to this earth and took the place of subjection and of dependence in order that he might become our Savior. Now he is offering to Christian women the privilege of taking this place in order to bring honor to God. There are two things that he settles here. The first one is the matter of what they wear on their heads. And the second one is the matter of their subjection to their husbands. And you'll find that these things often go together. A woman who is not willing to be subject to her husband is not willing to wear a covering on her head in meetings of the church. I think it's very sad that Protestants who claim to be following the Bible closer than Roman Catholics have completely abandoned this very scriptural thing which the Catholic Church still practices, that is, the covering of the head when a woman enters a church building. When you meet with other Christians, my dear sister, you ought to have your head covered. Every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered dishonoreth her head, for that is even all one as if she were shaven. For if the woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. But if it be a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. Any woman would admit that having her head shaved would be a very shameful experience, and in some parts of the world this is still used as a punishment for the wrong kind of women. Well, now the Lord said, not only are you to let your hair grow long, but you're also to have a covering on your head. Now he tells us why. He says that man ought not to cover his head, verse 7, for as much as he is the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of man. Now because she is the glory of man, she should wear a covering, for man's glory ought to be covered. Because man is the image and glory of God, he should not wear a covering, because God's glory should not be covered. It's just that simple. He passes on to tell us that this is done in verse 10. For this cause ought the woman to have power on her head, that is, to wear a covering on her head as a sign that she is under the power of her husband, because of the angels. Now, nowhere in the Bible are men ever given the privilege of being an object lesson to angels. So far as I know, the angels don't learn anything from watching us who are men. But a godly woman who wears a covering on her head as a sign of her subjection to her husband when she attends meetings of the church, this woman is an object lesson to the angels. The angels see in this that the church really is subject to Christ. Now he goes on to say that the woman is of the man and the man is also by the woman. It isn't that one is superior to the other. We are equal and interdependent. But that all things are of God. Judge in yourselves. Is it comely that a woman pray unto God uncovered? Doth not even nature itself teach you that if a woman have long hair? If a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him, but if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given to her for a covering. Now, this is a different word from the one used earlier. This is the word for a veil. It isn't that her hair is all the covering she needs in the church. That's brought out very plainly in verse 6. If she's not going to be covered, she might as well have her hair cut. But here, her hair is given to her for a veil. If any man seem to be contentious, now notice this, if any man seem to be contentious, we have no such custom, neither the churches of God. There are many people who say, well, this was a custom in that day, but our customs are different today, and this verse should stop that whole thing. It's not a matter of custom at all. The churches have no customs. The churches are not governed by customs. We're governed by the Word of God. Now, let me just say this word to you. Only the Word of God can determine your salvation. I mean by that, You can't be saved any way you choose. You must be saved through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You must receive Christ as your Savior. You must believe that He died for you and rose again. And when you do, God gives you the right to call yourself His child. John 1 and 12 tells us that. The same thing is true about church order. You don't find out what the church has decided in some kind of a convention. You turn to the Word of God. That's the argument of this verse, verse 16, that it's not a matter of customs at all. It's a matter of what does the Word of God say. God has given us certain rules and regulations, and He asks us, for the honor of the Lord Jesus, that we follow these. Now, if I'm talking to some Christian woman who has not been subject to her husband, let me tell you that you will never be happy until you obey the Lord. Just as a soul will never be happy until he accepts Christ, it is impossible to be a saved soul without the Lord Jesus as your Savior. So it is impossible to be a happy Christian without obedience to the Word of God. If you and I would just learn to take the Word of God as it is, not try to change it, not try to dress it up, just settle it that since this is what God has said, it's His way, and His ways are best. This is to be, then, because of the angels. It is to be in order that woman might have her right place in relation to her husband. It is that man's glory should be covered, but that God's glory should be demonstrated. And it is in order that we might follow a godly pattern in the church. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank Thee for Thy Word. We thank Thee for telling us about Thy Son, our Savior, and now we thank Thee for telling us what is Thy will for Thy own who belong to Thee. Help us to be obedient Christians. Help those who have not received Christ to trust Him now. In His name, amen.